The Old Testament, Nehemiah chapter 13. Again, I have notes because of the verses, especially narrative. We go back and forth to the story. We can at least have some notes with the verses. So let's all stand and we'll read Nehemiah chapter 13. Starting in verse 1, it said, "On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite, and the Moabite should not come to the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid meat offerings and frankincense and vessels and the tithes of the corn and new wine and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and to the singers and the porters and the offering of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king." And then we'll just read the, go to our verse 21. So here, Nehemiah came in to repair the wall and Jerusalem. So he came there the first time, and then he returned at a certain time back to the king, and we know he came back. In verse 21 says, "Then I testified against them." Because what happened is they were looking at the worship, and tonight we'll talk about rediscovering worship. Because they read the scripture and they found there are things that they were not doing. And so when they discovered that, or you can say rediscovered, because they should have known about those laws and about worship. And so he came back. And so here, "Then I testified," in verse 21, "against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall?" And so this time there are some people that are not supposed to be there. "If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." Nehemiah is not a nice person, right? At least when I read this, I picture him. "I will lay hands on you." From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. "And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy." Nehemiah was just going to help build the wall of Jerusalem. But when he got there, what happened? We'll take a look at rediscovering worship. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. May the Holy Spirit do that which I cannot do, that you open minds, open understanding, and that you may give us wisdom, that we may see the things that we do here, the things that you want us to accomplish as a body, as a local church, and that we may keep those things that pleases you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Nehemiah returned the first time. If you were not in Sunday school, it's excellent. We were just talking about this. This is the time where Daniel prophesies, as Pastor Kowak taught, that this 69 weeks, Daniel, is already passed, but there is 1 week left. And the beginning of that week is this. We were just talking about in Sunday school. From the commandment to build, or you say restore and rebuild Jerusalem, okay, unto the time of the Messiah. So this is that 69 weeks. This is the beginning of that 69 weeks. And so when they returned from captivity, Nehemiah is one of them. But here we see the providence of God. They started reading and hearing from the scripture for the purpose of understanding it. They have found and learned many things that their forefathers have neglected and disobeyed. They needed to teach the people about what they discovered from the scripture to restore order and proper worship. The people followed Nehemiah until Nehemiah left. So I have a kind of pessimistic view, right, of Christianity, not as Christians, but the world view. Because when you look at the big picture, the world is not going to get better. That's why we will end up with a tribulation. But praise the Lord, as the church will not be there, we will not experience the wrath of God. Daniel, and I let Pastor Kowak do that, the 70th week, if you were not there, again, listen to the tapes. They did not keep the biblical principles behind the reforms of Nehemiah. But you cannot worry about things you have no control. In other words, if things will go the way it's going, in our culture, there will be a time where your children, our children, and great-great-grandkids will probably not recognize what worship is. They might not recognize what is and what are the things that pleases God. Because we are now in our entertainment culture, and where is that going? I am not sure. But what we see it here, someone looked into the Word of God and rediscovered. They should already have known this. But here's Nehemiah. But what happened to Nehemiah? Well, his work was opposed. So your work will be opposed. Your work will be criticized. Your work will be forgotten. The rulers and leaders promised to take care of the temple of God and made an oath, but failed to keep their promise. We see that in Nehemiah 9 and Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah's first term was about 12 years until around 433 when he returned to Persia. So 12 plus 433 is 445, which in this morning in Sunday school, we know that's the beginning where the decree, that is the very first week, the beginning of the weeks of Daniel. So what do we know? What can we learn from the text about our worship? In your notes, I said, if God is to be worshipped, and He is to be worshipped, then we should find out from God how He wants us to worship Him. There must be an authority to let us know how to worship so we don't make it up as we go. We cannot do that, but our culture, our society is heading in that direction. So my fear is, generations from now, if we're still alive, or if we are in heaven and can see what's going on earth, I'm not sure if we are able to do that, we probably will not recognize it. But again, like Elijah, we cannot say, I'm the only one, Lord. That's how big our God is. But how do we know that? We can only know that from the scripture. Scripture regulates worship. In this church, it has been taught again and again that principle called regulative principle. It's simple. To remember that, there's one question or statement. What the Bible doesn't command is forbidden. That is a regulative principle. The other principle is, what is not forbidden is allowed. That is a normative principle, and the worst is the whatever principle. So in other words, hey, I don't see it in the Bible, therefore we can do it. No, the regulative principle is what we maintain, and we'll see this from the text, what is not commanded is forbidden. How do we know that? When we look at the scripture, there are, and it's already taught here, I'm just putting it in your notes. So when we look at the text, the elements of worship, these elements can easily be reproduced and transferred. This is what makes the churches, whether here or in the Philippines or Cameroon or any place in the world, there is unity because of the elements of worship includes reading the Word of God, preaching or hearing the Word of God, praying the Word of God, giving, singing, partaking of the Lord's Supper as a gathered church, a local body of Christ, baptism, you can say, our ordinances, Lord's Supper, baptism. That is the element of worship. So whether I go in the Philippines, I can see these elements. That's where we are united. But what about diversity? That is called the accidents of worship, which means their times of worship may be different than ours. The number of songs they sing, the number of services a week, the order of service, how do they order service? Here we sing with a choir. I remember when I was here, new here, there was no opening. Someone just stands here and start. But that's not right or wrong. It's just different. It's just the accidents of worship. The service location. So when you go back to the source, the scripture, you may find all kinds of practices that may be familiar to us, but some may not be similar if you go to other locations. So tonight we will look at rediscovering worship. If somehow we lose it, somehow we go to a different direction, somehow everything has changed, just like when Nehemiah got there. Let's look at Nehemiah verses 1 to 3. So in your notes, or if you open Nehemiah 13, verses 1 to 3 says, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. So what do the elements that we find? Number one, believers come together to worship God. Believers come to worship. And when they worship, we worship together. This is a gathered church, sometimes we call it, because we worship together as believers, not mixed multitude. Worship is for regenerate people of God, not for unbelievers. Let's look at Romans 8. If you may please turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh, the unsaved, the unregenerate, cannot please God. They cannot worship. They have no Spirit of God. Salvation is an experience we have in common. Pastor Kowak mentioned this today. When you go to a different location and fellowship with a believer, you thought that you know these people a long time. I remember going to the Philippines. It's like, I'd have someone ask me and said, how long did you know the guy? No, I just met him. And some of you have entertained missionaries, and you know what I'm talking about. They stay in your home, and it looks like, oh, you know this person. Why is that? There is a common. You could worship the living God, which an unsaved person cannot. They cannot please God. So what did they find? Believers come together to worship God. They separated the mixed multitude. We don't have time to look at it, but if you look at historically, our biblical Christianity is not detached from real history. You see that in Samaria and part of Judah, we have here some people from Persia populate that place when they were taken out. So that area ended up with what they call mixed multitude, idolaters. They mix religion. They worship Yahweh plus Baal and every other idols in that region. Believers come together to worship God. We give thanks because we tasted the special grace and mercy and love of God. We have experienced the forgiveness of our sins because of Christ. Back to Nehemiah chapter 13. What else do we see? In Nehemiah 4, verse 9, it says, and before this, in other words, this happened before they removed the mixed multitude. To worship, believers come together. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having an oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied to Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels and the tithes of the corn and the new wine and the oil which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offering of the priests. But in all these time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 230th year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days I obtained leave of the king. We'll pause right here. Nehemiah left. They obeyed the first time. Nehemiah returned, and guess what he found? Verse 7, and I came to Jerusalem and understood the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Nehemiah didn't even wait for the U-Haul to come. He just threw everything out of there. But notice this. He found that from the scripture. And this is the first time that Nehemiah did this. And in verses 1 to 3, they removed the mixed multitude. Nehemiah decisively removed the evil that was taking place in the house of God. Public evil required public rebuke before the people. Again, notice this happened and before this. That's verses 1 to 3. When the people removed the unbelievers from the congregation of God. This might explain why they immediately obeyed what was written from the scripture. Nehemiah did not make any idle threats. They probably got the message. When Nehemiah said this happened first, happened second is verses 1 to 3. So when we read verses 1 to 3, they obeyed right away. Why? Because this happened before that. Nehemiah threw everything. Why is that? We discovered. What's second that we see here? The second thing that we see, the elements, believers come together in a place to worship God. This is the place that God had chosen. This is the place where the gathered church meet. I'm talking about not during that time, but I'm putting it in our application. We sanctify this place. No matter where this place is, in a sanctuary or under the shade of a tree, the local church come together to worship in that place. In the Old Testament, God chose to place his name, or choose to place his name in Jerusalem, the place of worship for the people of God. Deuteronomy 12:11 says, "Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell therein. Thither shall ye bring all that I commanded you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord." In the New Testament, it is the place where the local body of Christ is gathered together to worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:21-23. Jesus said unto woman, "Believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is present here. When Nehemiah saw, they desecrated that place, because believers must come together in that place that the Lord has chosen. In fellowship of the communion or the Lord's Supper in baptism, God is present. We cannot use that facility where the evil is happening. There is a third element. Back to Nehemiah chapter 13. This one is in verses 15 to 22. So what do we know so far? How did they rediscover worship? It's not Nehemiah doing what he wanted to do. They're saying, this is how we did it before. No, Nehemiah said, let's read, let's look at the Word of God, let's see what's in the Word of God. So in verse 15, it says, "In those days saw I in Judah." What did he see? Some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in the sheaves, and lading asses, and also wine, grapes, and figs, all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in that day, or in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwell men of Tyre and therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Just like Nehemiah in verse 17. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, "What evil thing is this that you do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath." And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye the gates, that there should be no burden to be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers, sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. And here's verse 21 that we read earlier. Then I testified against them, and I said unto them, "Why lodge ye about the wall? If you do again, I will lay hands on you." From that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. So thirdly, believers come together, that's a gathered church, in a place on the Lord's day to worship God. We worship on the first day of the week. As Christians, that is the resurrection day. Where do we find that? We find that in the book of Acts. When the church began at the day of Pentecost, that's when we read from the book of Acts. They started gathering together. They started breaking bread during the day of the Lord's resurrection. We do not treat the Lord's day as an ordinary day. That is what we find. Believers come together in a place on the Lord's day. We don't choose the day that we come together as church, as a gathered church. I was reading or looking at a site, and I came to a pastor in Colorado. And on Thursday nights, he will have people in a tavern, and he called it pub church. They have beer and they have Bible on Thursday nights. So what is that? They say, well, the culture is changing, so the church should change with the culture. Like I said, eventually, it may not be unrecognizable if this is the true worship that pleases God. I'll play words with you. I know you can get this. I think you agree Satan is a deceiver. We agree? Satan is a deceiver. He is also an accuser of the brethren. You could say, can we say he's a mocker? He mocks Job before God. Also, we can say Satan is angry, raging. So if I play on words, you probably pick up on this verse. The verse says, and I'll just use Satan. Satan is a mocker. Satan is raging. And whosoever is deceived, thereby is not wise. Is that verse familiar? What is it talking about? It's Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You can replace wine, strong drink, with Satan. But yet this pastor said, let's gather together and have a pub church on a Thursday night in a tavern. Yes, they have the Bible. Who will go against that? But you see, when Nehemiah found out, like I said, he didn't wait for the U-Haul. He's out of there. Why is that? You cannot do that. So believers come together to worship God. Not only believers come together in a place. It is something that we sanctify, we separate for worship. But believers come together in a place on the Lord's day to worship God. There's a fourth element. Let's go back to Nehemiah 13. But before we go there, keep this in mind. This is a command. It's not suggestion. The purpose of this day is to worship God. We can say this is non-negotiable. When I talk to young Christians, especially if you're a father, I always say that. Make this day a non-negotiable day. With your family, it is the Lord's day. Sometimes I talk to my grandson. He's 4 years old. And so I tell him, it's like tape, but they don't use tape anymore. Recorder, right? So I say, remember, this is the Lord's day. It's not the Lord's hour. And so he will repeat that. Lolo, it's the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. We separate that day. It's not part of the day. We sanctify it. Let's go to chapter 13, verses 10 to 14. There is a last element here that I'd like to look at. And I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given to them, or given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithes of the corn and the new wine and oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over treasuries, Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and the next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, and the son of Mattaniah. For they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. And we know Nehemiah said, remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the office thereof. The fourth element we see here is not only believers come together to worship, we come together in a place on the Lord's Day with offering to worship God. They were neglected. Nehemiah restored that. They did that before, but they rediscover some things from the scripture. Nehemiah took the faithful men and made them do what the scripture has commanded them. Believers come together, gathered church in a place on the Lord's Day with offering to worship God. When we come to worship, we come with something to offer. We don't worship expecting, what can I get? Pastor Noel is preaching tonight. We should stay home. We won't get anything. Out of the worship service, what can I get? I think that is not what the scripture is saying. We don't come here to see what we can get. I read this in a book. It's called the club membership mentality. You know what? I'm paying a lot of money in this church. I expect Starbucks when I come in and Dunkin' Donuts, right? I expect a nice repaired chairs. No, this is what Nehemiah found. He found them going back to whatever they did before. And so he read from the scripture. Nehemiah says, this is what I want you to do. He didn't do that. He said, let's see what the Bible, what the scriptures say. Then we come together. Worship is not for unbelievers. If we have visitors, that's fine. But we don't cater to those group, it is not a church. We looked at believers coming together to encourage one another, to learn from one another. Where? Together in a place on the Lord's Day with offering to worship God. Our culture has confused how we worship, what regulates it, to how we feel about our worship. We please God, not ourselves. He is the audience in our worship. We come before Him. We offer ourselves to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, unto God, which is your reasonable service. We don't make it up. We ask God what pleases Him. We can't find that anywhere apart from the scripture. We find rest in Him. Yes, Monday through Saturday, that's the scattered church. That's where we go. That's where we witness. That's where we do our calling, our particular calling. But then we separate that one day. That one day we sanctify. And that is the Lord's day. So what do we know? We know someday it may not be recognizable. A lot of places already not. So how do we rediscover? We won't find it anywhere apart from the scripture. What saith the Lord? Believers come together. Believers come together in a place. We worship in this place. But in this place at a particular day, the Lord's day, with something to offer. We don't come here asking ourselves, what can I get? What could you offer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening.